to the United States now and criminal charges against the former FBI Director James Comey and the New York Attorney General Letitia James have been dismissed by a US judge who ruled that the prosecutor in the case, Donald Trump's former personal lawyer Lindsay Halligan, was unlawfully appointed. Judge Cameron Curry said that Ms. Halligan, who had been handpicked by Donald Trump to bring the charges against the two political enemies, had never been eligible to assume the post. After the ruling, James Comey said that he was grateful that the prosecution had ended, but that he expected President Trump would come after him again.
I'm grateful that the court ended the case against me, which was a prosecution based on malevolence and incompetence, and a reflection of what the Department of Justice has become under Donald Trump, which is heartbreaking. This case mattered to me personally, obviously, but it matters most because a message has to be sent that the President of the United States cannot use the Department of Justice to target his political enemies. I don't care what your politics are, you have to see that as fundamentally un-American and a threat to the rule of law that keeps all of us free. I know that Donald Trump will probably come after me again, and my attitude is going to be the same. I'm innocent, I am not afraid, and I believe in an independent federal judiciary, the gift from our founders that protects us from a would-be tyrant.
That's James Comey. Our Washington correspondent Sean Whelan has been telling me more about this case and the background to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, Donald Trump has made no secret of the fact that he wants to get even with people and in some cases use the law to do so. We know in September he had sent what he thought was a text to his Attorney General, Pam Bondi, saying, why hasn't James Comey, the former FBI director, somebody who's tormented and annoyed him for quite a long time, and Letitia James being prosecuted. In fact, it wasn't a text, it was a post on social media, which was quite embarrassing for the president because it was a pretty clear example of him directing the Justice Department to mount a prosecution. And that's not supposed to happen in the US system and many other systems as well. A separation between prosecution and political executives would be considered the norm. Nevertheless, within days of that, the U.S. attorney who'd been leading the investigation into both Comey and Letitia James was effectively forced out of his post. He'd been appointed as a temporary U.S. attorney. In other words, he hadn't been confirmed by the United States Senate or a local court, a local branch of the federal court in the state of Virginia. And he was then replaced with a lady called Lindsay Halligan. She was an insurance lawyer and a staffer at the White House. She'd never done any criminal work in her life. And within days of being appointed as a US attorney, again on a temporary basis, she had launched a prosecution, her first criminal case being against the former head of the FBI, and her second criminal case being against the Attorney General of New York State, who had herself prosecuted Donald Trump in the criminal courts in New York. So she was on what many considered to be a sticky wicket to begin with. The gossip, I guess, the unattributed briefings surrounding the case all suggested that professional prosecutors in the attorney's office in Virginia had counseled against launching a prosecution because, in their view, the evidence didn't really stack up, didn't really warrant a criminal prosecution, and probably wasn't going to stand up in court. Nevertheless, they were indicted, and now a federal judge yesterday threw out the cases on the basis that Ms. Halligan had not been properly appointed as a U.S. attorney. The judge declared that because both Eric Siebert, her predecessor, and Lindsay Halligan had been installed on a temporary basis, this was in fact not legal because the law does not provide for two temporary appointments of U.S. attorneys, temporary being for 120-day periods, on the basis that it would be a protection for people against an overly powerful executive using temporary appointments to do precisely what they did do, which is launch a politically motivated prosecution of individuals.
And the White House, Sean, said that there would be an appeal against this ruling. Let's hear what Donald Trump's press secretary, Karoline Leavitt, had to say.
Because Lindsey Callaghan was legally appointed, and that's the administration's position. I know there was a judge who was clearly trying to shield Letitia James and James Comey from receiving accountability, and that's why they took this unprecedented action to throw away the indictments against these two individuals. But the Department of Justice will be appealing very soon, and it is our position that Lindsey Callaghan is extremely qualified for this position, but more importantly, was legally appointed to it.
Lots more on Donald Trump's plate as well this week, Sean, and he is desperate for a peace deal in Ukraine. We know there's been pushback to his proposed peace plan, and there is now an amended version of that plan on the table, which rejects some of the terms which favoured Russia. It would seem that there's still quite a way to go on this one as well.
Yes, there is, and reports this morning are suggesting that Dan Driscoll, the Secretary of the United States Army, is in Abu Dhabi meeting Russian negotiators to go through with them what has been or what has emerged from last weekend's very intensive period of diplomatic discussions on these ideas that are floating around. It's probably not correct to call them a peace plan at the moment, and certainly the briefings that are coming from the US State Department are suggesting that what they've been trying to do is put together a set of ideas or put things down in writing as a basis to start negotiations around. And as you say, that list has been whittled down from something like 28 points to something closer to 20 points, but still a lot of to-ing and fro-ing to go through, and particularly as some of the points that have been thrown out of that document are seen to be core Russian ideas, such as a reduction in the military strength of Ukraine and a ban on it joining NATO forever and ever, and the loss of territory of Ukraine. So they are things that the Russians have always been after, and if they're gone out of the documents, then the Russians aren't going to be happy, and the Americans acknowledge, of course, that if the Russians aren't agreeable to whatever is put on the table, then it's simply a non-starter. So yes, there's plenty more to run on these negotiations.
Separately then, a warming, it would seem, of relations between the United States and China, a long phone call between the US president and the Chinese leader, and a promise of a visit by Donald Trump to Beijing next year.
Yeah, I mean, that visit was agreed when the two leaders met in a much anticipated encounter in Korea last month. And the Chinese president indicated he would be agreeable to being invited for a state visit here to Washington, D.C. later in the year. President Trump again confirming last night in a Truth Social post that he was going to go to Beijing in April and that he would be expecting President Xi here in Washington sometime in the autumn. To be determined. Again, the president's texts mentioned that they were running through a lot of trade issues. There's still these issues of rare earths to be sorted out and agricultural tariffs and purchases, indeed, by the Chinese of sensitive crops like soybeans here in the United States. The President Trump stressed that they had talked about Ukraine, but there was quite a divergence with the Chinese communique saying, yes, we talked about Ukraine in passing, but mostly we were talking about Taiwan because there's been a flare-up in relations between China and Japan over the issue of Taiwan. When the new Japanese Prime Minister suggested that Japan would be prepared to defend Taiwan in the event of a Chinese invasion, the Chinese pushing back very strongly on that, saying that the one China policy was an integral part of the post-World War II political order that had been forged in the fight against fascism and militarism jointly by the US and China. So quite a lot of dispute around the issue of Taiwan. The Japanese Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi also spoke with President Trump by phone after that telephone conversation between President Trump and President Xi. So a lot going on in that part of the world as well, and things not perhaps quite as smooth as the president's own social media post would suggest.
That was our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, speaking to us a short time ago. The time is 7:49. We'll be back with business and weather after this.